It's time to find out whether Rainbow Community is making a mark in sport. On the track, the field, the court, the course, the pitch, and on the podium. Across Australia and around the world, you're listening to Game On here on Joy.
Welcome to Game On, the home of sport on Joy 94.9. It's great to have your company and thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Jax. Got another fun, sporty show for you tonight up until 7pm, followed by The Open Table, a terrific chat show where anything and everything is on the table and up for discussion. But for the next hour, we talk sport. This show is dedicated to uplifting stories of where you belong, and we chat with the people making positivity in sport a priority. We'll also have some events for your diary that you might like to head along to. So give the show a follow on Instagram and keep up to date with what's happening in Rainbow Sport. Game On_Joy949. As we start, a big shout out to all the lesbians. This week is Lesbian Visibility Week, running from the 21st to 27th of April, originating in West Hollywood. Lesbian Visibility Week was first marked in the early 1990s to raise visibility of lesbian identity and experiences. And since 2020, it's been celebrated to coincide with Lesbian Visibility Day on the 26th of April. And of course, our lesbian athletes have played a pivotal role in challenging stereotypes and advocating for LGBTQIA+ rights both on and off the field, from trailblazing gay Grand Slam champions Billie Jean King and Martina Navratilova to tennis champions of today, being Daria Kasatkina, who celebrated her first official day as an Australian player on the 1st of April this year after switching allegiances from Russia. So Daria, the world number 12 and the only openly gay female player in the top 100, has said that her sexuality was a major factor in making the move to becoming an Australian citizen. Of course, in 2023, a ruling in Russia's Supreme Court classified the international LGBTQIA+ movement as an extremist organisation, a move that effectively outlawed LGBTQIA+ activism. So what's on the show tonight? We're talking pride in fencing. Avery Holderness-Rodham, Participation Manager of the Australian Fencing Federation, will be joining us after 6:30 to share his journey in fencing as a trans man and tell us about an awesome event that you can take part in if you ever wanted to try your hand at fencing. It's this Saturday. Come Out and Fence, Intro to Fencing for LGBTQIA+ people at the State Fencing Centre in North Melbourne from 3 to 5:30pm. Then we're going to be talking Emerald City Kickball, one of my favourite sports that I've never played. We're talking with Kia Ford about a fun new sport, Emerald City Kickball. Kia is on the 2025 committee and is the Director Marketing and Communications, fancy title. So there's a massive showdown event this Sunday, Faulkner Park here in Melbourne. That'll be another high camp in the park action. So bring your sparkling wine. That'll be really, really fun again, and your picnic blanket. But before then, we are talking awards and award winners. The annual National Pride in Sport Awards were held last Wednesday for the 8th time. The awards were founded in 2018 and are dedicated to celebrating and recognising outstanding efforts to make Australian sport more inclusive of LGBTQIA+ people. And a massive congratulations to all the finalists and winners. And so we're joined by one of the winners tonight, Paul Heptonstall, General Manager, Wellbeing and Education of the NRL, National Rugby League, and the Rugby League Players Association, who took out the Ally of the Year Award. Welcome to Game On, Paul.
Hello, Jacqueline, and thanks for having me.
An absolute pleasure. You're the first Rugby League representative I've had on Game On, and it's in Season 3. So thanks for coming on the show.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. And even your introduction there, where you're talking about all these other different sports, I didn't know about some of those sports myself, kickball and a few others. So it's great to have channels like this that have so many different sports on it. But it's a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. Well, if you ever got a spare Sunday afternoon, Paul, there is Emerald City Kickball in Sydney, which is where it started. So you're always welcome to head along if you would like to see what all the fuss is about. It's pretty fun.
Well, if my knees were a little bit better, I'd participate, but they're not the best at the moment.
Well, that's probably because of your years playing rugby. So you've had an amazing involvement in the sport of rugby league. You've worked in the industry for 25 years. You played rugby with the North Sydney Bears. Then you worked with the professional teams, the North Queensland Cowboys and the West Tigers, moving into your current role of General Manager, Wellbeing and Education. How has this sport changed over the years, becoming more inclusive of the rainbow community?
Yeah, look. I think we're I think society in general has improved so much, and I think us being part of the community has moved with it. But I do feel that I think we're in a fairly privileged position because we have such a diverse culture of people within our game, as it is. You know, from different cultures, different heritage, different race, different religions, different sexuality. So I think we're blessed by this diversity, which I think comes with it an acceptance of people being just who they are. But look, it's been a challenge as well. I think, you know, I feel blessed to have worked in sport for so long. It's a desire for so many people, but I've been lucky, mate, you know, mainly as an administrator and wellbeing role. But it has changed. It's been a lot more comfortable, and I think that whole thing around just respectful relationships is that in every form has really driven our ethos around what we're trying to do in the wellbeing space.
Can you tell us what you achieved over the last year to actually win Ally of the Year for the NRL?
Oh, look, I was actually very surprised. I mean, I think probably to some of the bigger things that we do, and I say we because we've got a big team of wellbeing staff at the NRL and Players Association, so it's not just me, but it's probably over the last 10 years. I know that we have some gay male players and female players, and we've got more and more female players who are a lot more open about their sexuality, and with the NRLW program growing, it's a really welcome environment. But I think over the last 10 years, we've just tried to bring the conversation a little bit forward about even as simple as language that we use and just making it a little bit more visible that rugby league and the LGBTQI program sort of can go hand in hand. And look, we did a Mardi Gras float of, I think it was about 2016, and that was probably our first sort of lunge into a real public sort of promotion of the diversity. And then we just broadened it around the education we did at clubs and with staff and players. And it's just sort of grown from then. But I feel like it's probably over the last 10 years. I know every year we try and sort of ramp it up a little bit more. And this year in particular, last 12 months, we did go to all the NRL clubs. And we're very blessed to have someone like Ian Roberts and AYN Pride and Sport to take around to all the clubs and have a real meaningful conversations. And sometimes they're hard conversations too, Jacqueline. Like they're not... it's everyone's got different views on things, but it was really good to have that conversation, and we've got some really good staff that helped us do that as well. And in particular, someone like David Solomona, who sort of hosted a lot of the programs. But anyway, it was I'm not going to say tough conversation. It was a really, really good conversation, but it was really good conversation. So
we're talking with Paul Heptonstall, General Manager, Wellbeing and Education of the NRL and the Rugby League Player Association. So Paul won Ally of the Year with his work in the NRL over the past year. It'll be very interesting now going around with Ian Roberts to the clubs because, of course, Ian Roberts, former professional rugby league player in the 80s and 90s, poster boy, still today, the only gay male rugby league player to come out. And he actually also said that he was surprised. He felt that he would lead the way and other players might come out, but that's not actually happened. What was it like going around with Ian into the locker rooms in 2025?
Oh, look, he's still such a respected individual. Like, as a sportsman, he was the toughest rugby league player ever. You know, and that's a lot of people will say that. You know, when played front row for Australia and everyone feared him. And I think that's what made it really special, him coming out, was this perception of what a gay man was like and not enjoying, contact sports and the physical and violent nature of our game. But it was just a really special thing to come out. And look, when he did, I was lucky. I was at the Cowboys when he did come out just after he came out in the 90s. And he was just so well accepted amongst the community and amongst the team. And he was captain of the club, actually. So that shows the leader that he was. But look, I'm surprised too. We know that there's some gay male players in the game. But that's, you know, we just want to make, you know, them all in their own time. when they want to make a public comment. And I suppose the profile nature of our sport is it's more than just coming out and talking about your sexuality. You have to be a spokesperson on it too. And there's a lot of confidence and encouraged to do that too. So it's but just everyone in their own time. But look, you know, it was really good conversations this year.
Do you think, therefore, that what has changed is the locker room environment? So you were just saying there are some professional rugby league players at the highest level who are gay but are not coming out currently. And so it would have been then, and we hear this too with the AFL, in the locker room environment, there's that sort of like confidence and support for their colleague for the right time, at what point in their career that may or may not be, to make that public. But then we also have, as you touched on earlier, about this the communities, cultures. Also, you've got a lot of Pacifica members of the, I think Pacifica players make up 50% of the player ranks, making rugby league unique amongst all other Australian sports. And we did have that incident back in July 2022 when 7 players of the Sea Eagles refused to wear the Pride jersey and boycotted the club's match against the Sydney Roosters at a game when it was about, you know, respect for being inclusive more widely, not just for the rainbow community. Are you able to maybe touch on sort of from your insights as a welfare manager, you know, hearing about the other side of that conversation? Because we only ever hear people refused. We don't really delve into, I don't feel enough, the reasoning behind that.
Yeah, look, I can't comment on anyone's views in particular, but what I can say is, so we're blessed as a rugby league community where we have this diversity, and the most accepting place for a player to come out is probably within that team, because it is such a caring team where it's you know, everyone cares for each other. And we're lucky to be in that environment. So it's not so much the fear of coming out within the team, because, you know, as I said, there's such support for each other. But I think it's also respecting everybody's different views as well. And you know, there are some, you know, there's some faiths that are pretty strong on their views around, you know, homosexuality and you know, that diversity. And we can never say to people they're wrong. Like, we can never say that you're right, you're wrong, this person's judgment or decision or is more important than someone else's. And I think that's the beauty of this conversation. And even someone like Ian Roberts was so happy with the talk, because he just said it's about people having conversations. And I remember we do a regular survey with players, and we found that 30% of players actually told us that faith was as important, if not more important, than footy. You know, faith and family and footy, in that order. And if people have some strong beliefs around certain things, well, then that's their beliefs as well. And look, it didn't surprise me that some people may have objected it. Like, it was a brave move from the Manly club to put an inclusive jersey on. And as you mentioned, it wasn't just the rainbow community; it was all inclusiveness. And but look, it was a difficult. But again, you know, we're having this conversation now because it's, you know, it's happened in sport, and people like to debate topics in sport, and it just brought it to the light. And I actually went to the game with Ian that night too, and it was really important to acknowledge the players that made their decision on certain beliefs, and, you know, and it was no less respectful. There's the same sort of respect for them as there was for the you know, for the gay community. So it was. Yeah, look, it's an interesting thing, and I think that's the beauty of sport. We get to talk about these things. You know, it's a forum where it's easier to debate and easier to talk. But yeah, now look, it was a really interesting event. And look, I think a club will venture into that space again and doing some sort of diversity round. And
is there a respect round for rugby league, or what's the status now with regards to, is there a round?
Well, there's a harmony round. There's a whole range of rounds, and I think there's 3 or 4 different ones that they have. And there's mental health and Indigenous round and harmony round, and I think there's a women in league round, and so and they vary some of those. So it's you know, it could probably fall into some of those other categories. So I just think it's a great way, if rugby league are talking about this, then because we've got so many listeners and viewers, then it allows you know, it allows people just to think about different views and different opinions on things. And, you know, we chatted before the show around, like, even my family's got different views on this topic. So it's not, it's just everyone in their own time, I think. And I think we're moving closer to becoming even more and more accepted.
Well, that's awesome to hear, Paul. Just to close, I just wanted to hear your thoughts about the expansion round, because, of course, Rugby League will be expanding to Papua New Guinea. There'll be a team set for 2028. And at the moment, Papua New Guinea's laws criminalise homosexuality, which is at odds with the NRL's commitment to inclusivity. So that does present a challenge for the sport, engaging with a nation where laws, customs and cultural attitudes diverge from those in Australia. What's Rugby League doing at the moment kind of to prepare for that, and particularly in your role as welfare manager?
Well, it's still fairly early days, but I think the beautiful thing about this is that, you know, Rugby League can make a difference, and Rugby League can start this conversation, and Rugby League can hopefully influence you know, decision makers within countries to think about some of the laws that they have. So Rugby League is our national sport, which we know it is, and they're absolutely crazy about watching and supporting the players, and it just gives an opportunity for Rugby League people to help influence some of those decision makers, and I think that's the way we've looked upon it. In terms of other challenges that other countries have, and in particular Papua New Guinea, around around violence and education and a whole range of things, that the Rugby League has a really positive influence, and I'm looking forward to that conversation growing over the next few years. And again, I don't want to guess what the outcome will be, but at least, again, we'll start with a conversation, and as long as we just keep nudging the dial, then we're heading in the right direction.
Wonderful. Paul, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. Congratulations on winning Ally of the Year of the Pride and Sport Awards, and looking forward to seeing what you achieve in the coming year for Rugby League.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Thank you for having me on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you. That was Paul Heptonstall, General Manager of the NRL and Rugby League Player Association, Player Welfare, who took out Ally of the Year Award at the annual Pride in Sport Awards. So the NRL is committed to welcoming everyone, regardless of race, religion, disability, sexual orientation, or any other characteristic. And it's allies like Paul that actually put those words into action and create change in the sport. Thanks for listening. And next up, we're going to be talking about fencing.
You're listening to Game on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Game On until 7 o'clock tonight, where we talk with the inspiring people who are instrumental in creating change by making sport inclusive, welcoming, safe and fun for the rainbow community, so that you can get your game on. I hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday night. And if you're looking for something fun and sporty to do on the weekend and you are in Melbourne, well, I think I've got a really great option for you. Have you thought about trying your hand at fencing? Well, if you have or if you haven't, we're going to be talking about it. So we're going to welcome to the show Avery Holderness-Rodham, participation manager in the Australian Fencing Federation. Welcome to the show, Avery. How are you?
Hello, I'm well, thanks. How are you going?
I'm really well, all the way from Hobart.
I know, it's a long way.
Well, I went there for the first time over Christmas New Year, and I'd always wanted to go to Tasmania, and I was not disappointed. The Sydney to Hobart yacht race was on, for starters. Then there was the Melbourne to Hobart yacht race, and then there was the Launceston yacht race. So it was quite ridiculous. Taste of Tasmania was on, and that's like in addition to all the other fun things, like, well, the Female Factory was a bit of a downer, but have you been in Hobart long?
So I've grew up in Hobart, but speaking of the Female Factory, when I was a wee little year 11, I was doing a tourism course and I had a work placement there. And the work placement was during winter, and I really pitied the women who were stuck there. Yeah, it would have been really horrible.
The conditions were horrible, yes, because apparently Mount Wellington has all this shade. There was this story behind the Female Factory where it was located. Apparently some guy was trying to sell it off and managed to sell it off, but it was in like an area that was wet, so it didn't mm-hmm. drain. So those poor women. Anyway, on to more positive topics, Avery.
Sounds good.
Yeah, we love Hobart, though, because we're not in the beer bomb fate. It's a great place. Everyone should visit it, particularly for the ice cream. Now, are there many options available for the Rainbow community in Tasmanian sport? I know the Hobart Hotties are down there for tennis lovers. There's water basketball. You've got the Convict City Rollers for roller derby. Anything else that you're aware of?
Correct. So I did a little bit of research. So we've got like the Tasmanian, like arm of the Queer Sporting Alliance is down there. So they've got the basketball, but also apparently social roller skating. So I don't know if that's maybe hosted by the Convict City Rollers, or I could be completely wrong. But fun fact, the Convict City Rollers, they have a venue, and the fencing club I run actually rents that once a week, and it's amazing. You go in and there are so many pride flags and posters that are like pro-trans rights and pronouns and stuff. It's just an awesome space. But the other things I could find were Hobart Out Tennis, so I know that's been going for a fair while. And then there's also, basically, I was doing some research, so I've got this great organisation called Working It Out in Tassie, and they do a lot of sort of providing resources and education for schools, employers, families, and members of the community on a whole range of different things. And they have a page called Signpost, so you can actually put in information about your, like whether it's specifically LGBTQIA+, or if it's kind of like an ally to them, whether you're a business or a club or a social, you know, organization. So, so that's where I double-checked the information to make sure it was all up to date. I found out there's also a virtual gym which is called Non-Gendered Fitness, and it's a 100% gender-diverse, owned and operated, queer and trans-friendly virtual gym, which is cool. And I hope that wasn't the sound of my
That was me.
Oh, okay. I'm so relieved. I was like, me. I'm sure I sound.
Keep
all
going.
Get you popular.
Heaps happening down there. I was just thinking as you were talking, you're on the same venue as the roller derby. You know how they sometimes combine sports like chess, boxing? Have you ever thought roller derby and fencing?
I have seen a video of some Canadian fencers ice skating and fencing at the same time.
Well, that's next level.
And, I feel like I would trust the roller derby folks, but I wouldn't trust the fencers. I'd probably be giving the pros the swords because they've got the skate skills. It could be interesting, though.
Yes, well, maybe that's something for a fun event. Now, you've got this amazing event on Sunday, Come and Try event, this Saturday, at the State Fencing Centre. The event is called Come Out and Fence. Love the pun there. Yep. Intro to Fencing for LGBTQIA+ People Session, part of the Pride in Sport Festival. So how inclusive is fencing in Australia?
So I not speaking as like the participation manager because I only started that last week, but my experience specifically has been very positive as a trans fencer who, like, I started in the 2000 as a 12-year-old, but didn't transition until I was like 27. So my experience has been really positive. But I can speak for like the places where I've done the most sort of fencing, like whilst I was still sort of navigating the start of sort of transitioning and stuff, and then as a trans fencer, and also speaking for a few, not four, but like I've had conversations with sort of trans and gender diverse fencers as well. And I was really impressed at the first national tournament I went to after I sort of transitioned. I took about a year off competing and they were all over it. So the national side of things, they were great, really inclusive, and they'd clearly worded up the states who were hosting the national tournaments and being like this is a go. There was no trouble with it. There are some states who are really good at running like LGBTQIA+ events, and Fencing Victoria is one of them. So Courtney Buchanan, who's the diversity inclusion officer for Fencing Victoria, is actually organising this event. And they're awesome. Last year they had their inaugural Pride Cup, and that was really, that was a huge hit. I was so jealous because I didn't have a chance to sort of go over, head over to Melbourne to actually experience that. But this year I'll be there because it's happening at the end of June. But they're very, very openly, very inclusive, which is awesome. And I know that also New South Wales, they're very promote the sort of inclusion side of things. And I haven't heard any negative stuff, if that makes sense. So a lot of positivity, and my own experience has been positive. But I think with fencing, the most negativity I've been hearing is since the issue, the black card issue that happened in America recently, yeah. Which people who aren't a member of the community don't quite understand how it works. But it's kind of opened some floodgates for some very anti-trans rhetoric from people who mostly don't understand fencing or, you know, any of that sort of stuff. Doing a lot of educating.
For people who don't know, I do have a grab to play from that. So there was a fencing tournament in the USA. One of the competitors, Stephanie Turner, did not want to compete against her opponent, transgender, and this is what she had to say. So I'd love your thoughts about that and also a response from USA Fencing.
My day really starts the night before when I found out that I was going to be fencing a man. I was given pools, my pool assignments, and I saw that Redmond was in my pool. I had decided that I was going to take a knee and I would go up against him as if it was a regular tournament, and at on guard ready, I would take that knee and then I would explain my position. I think people were a little stunned. I was asked, what are you doing? And I said, I'm a woman and this is a man and I will not fence this individual. This is a women's tournament.
Yeah, so that was Stephanie Turner on Fox Sports in response to getting interviewed about her decision to take the knee and get black carded. So USA Fencing came down heavy on Stephanie.
Yeah, but it wasn't for that. So people go, oh, it's because she refused to fence her trans opponent. But in fencing, if you refuse to fence your opponent and, you know, they've entered in the tournament, you know, correctly and everything, that's a black card offence. So there are, now I can't remember which countries there are, but I know there's like at least beef between two countries politically where at an international level, if a fencer from one of them was to, you know, fence against their opponent in like a, you know, a match, then they would possibly be killed if they went back to their country. So I think this rule probably, you know, comes because they can't afford to have people being like, well, I'm not going to fence with them for these reasons. So in that case, that's, you know, that fencer would just be like, hey, no, I'm not fencing this person. Like, you don't make a big deal of it. So what the appropriate action would have been for her to just go to the DT, which is Director of Technique. So they run the tournament and say, I just need you to know that I'm not, you know, not going to be fencing this opponent. And if she wants to give her reasoning behind it, fine. But all she needed to do was that. So she really made a sort of political statement about it. But the problem is, everyone's assuming that the black card was about that. But the USA Fencing, they've been very supportive of trans and gender diverse athletes. So even though, you know, the black card was purely because she refused to fence an opponent, it didn't matter which opponent, they've been, like, the association has been very supportive of trans and gender diverse athletes. So straight after Trump was in and made his decrees about gender, they, and I can't remember the wording, but they basically put some posts up making it clear that in light of recent decisions, they're going to be making sure that all of their members feel safe and included and stuff. So they've been really good, and I think they've been copping flack from people who don't understand how it works and how carding and stuff works with fencing. But I think what really triggers me is that she keeps referring to her opponent as a man, which is what I've been noticing in the anti-trans rhetoric that's been going on, is like, at least if people are going to be like unpleasant about it, that like their issue could be that they're worried that a trans woman might, like, I can see that some people, like, they're worried that trans women might still, you know, have the same muscle strength or something as prior to transition and stuff, but these people aren't even coming from that, you know, a genuine ignorance. It's more of just a really unpleasant, no, it's a man, that's it. There's no open-mindedness to it or anything, and no understanding, and definitely no compassion, which really pisses me off.
Yeah, it was the misgendering, which was highly offensive. We're speaking with Avery Holderness Rodham, Participation Manager, newly appointed for the Australian Fencing Federation, based in Hobart, but telling us about an amazing event you can get involved with if you've always wanted to try your hand at fencing, the Come Out and Fence Intro to Fencing for LGBTQI+ People, Saturday, 26th of April, 3 to 5.30, $5, State Fencing Centre, North Melbourne. And will you be attending, and will you be wearing your famous purple outfit? Because you normally wear white, I think, don't you? But you've chosen to wear a purple outfit, and that's being really welcome in fencing circles.
Yeah, so first, I won't be there, only because I just don't have the chance to go over to it as much as I would love to be going. But I have my flights and accommodation booked for the Pride Cup, which is on, totally had it written down, but it's the 29th of June. So I'll be there for that one. So if people go along and they enjoy fencing, the organisers will be able to help connect them with a local club, and then they can come back for the Pride Cup with their new fencing friends at the end of June. And for that one, I will be there with my purple jacket. So in fencing, you can actually have any colour jacket you want apart from black, because that's the coach's colour. But the majority of people you'll see wearing white jackets. There were some national fencers when I was a kid who used to fence in blue fencing jackets. So occasionally someone will come up and they'll be like, oh, you're wearing a purple fencing jacket. You can't have a colour jacket. And I'm like, actually, you can. And then they're like, oh, wait, seriously? So I think there are a few people now who are going to be like, right, okay, I need to start decorating my fencing jacket, but the sleeve of my non-dominant hand has like a trans pride flag, a progress pride flag, pronouns badge, and this really cute little one that a local artist made, which is a little Tassie devil with the pride flag behind it. So I want to make sure that I'm visibly a safe person to talk to, and making sure that I'm a visible trans and gender diverse member of the fencing community, because I know there are people who aren't are in a position to do that. So I want to make sure that it's visible, so that other fencers who might not be able to be out or might not feel safe to can see that. And it's, so far it's gone really well in different states that I've visited just for casual fencing. I've had some really great conversations with members who've been like, oh, what was your experience of coming out, and asking about resources and things like that. So it's been a positive step, I think. Plus purple is awesome.
We love purple. Well, you made a great start, week one, and you're already on Joy 94.9, encouraging people to get involved in this event on Saturday. So thank you so much for coming on the show, and look forward to having you on again, talking about the Pride event that's coming up later this year.
Thank you for having me. And honestly, I really encourage people to head along, because it's a really inclusive community. The people running it are great and so friendly, and it's really fun.
Wonderful, thank you. Well, you heard it from the horse's mouth. That was Avery Holderness-Rodham, Participation Manager of the Australian Fencing Federation, sharing all the positivity in the sport of fencing, encouraging you to head along this Saturday. We're going to switch to another sport. We're going to be joined by Keir Ford, Emerald City Kickball Melbourne, 2025 committee member, Director of Marketing and Communications, live in the Joy Studio. Tell us all about a fun event in the park this Sunday that you can head along to.
You're listening to Game on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Game On. Until 7 o'clock tonight, we'll be talking with the people who are making a difference in sport to make it more inclusive, and in this case, really, really fun. We're joined by Keir Ford, Emerald City Kickball Melbourne 2025 committee member with an amazing title, Director Marketing and Communication, to tell us all about a fun event in the park on Sunday that you can head along to, but also that you should take up Emerald City Kickball and why. Keir, welcome to the studio.
Hi, hello. It's a pleasure to be here and to talk about get to talk about kickball.
Is this your first time to the Joy Studios?
It is indeed. And you know what? I had such a warm welcome. I felt like a soldier getting back from the from battle. It was great. All of your colleagues here are very sweet.
They are, yes. We do have the open table up afterwards, led by Craig, and Ethan's there. They're all setting up. So that show's interesting because it's anything you're not supposed to talk about, it's sex, mm-hmm. religion, politics, they're talking about it. So talking about politics tonight and Trump, that's the next show. Yes, we're talking about fun stuff here. But it's going to be a bit bittersweet on Sunday, is it not, here? Because the event on Sunday is the grand finale for the season, the final tournament. How has the season been?
Yes, it is, but it's just us going on a break, remember. We'll be back very soon. And the season's been brilliant. This is just the second one in Melbourne, and I have to say, it's just got bigger and better. The first one was amazing. I had a great time, but coming to the end of this second one, I'm just blown away by it. It's been, I think just magic, to be honest.
How did you get involved with Emerald City Kickball, and what made you decide to, did you give yourself that title, director?
I actually didn't choose the word director. That just was sort of thrust upon me, but so be it.
It's quite lofty.
It is lofty, but it's quite handy for job applications, and it looks good on LinkedIn, so no complaints from me. I think that it's supposed to be Director of Stakeholder Engagement. I think that that's my title.
It's getting even more corporate.
I know, it is. It is. And, well, my role is to basically bring together the groups that make kickball work together. So we've got like the social chairs and then the captains. That's supposed to be my thing. And how did I get involved with kickball? Well, actually, it was kind of a moment of, I'm going to say, divine intervention. Ooh. I just arrived in Melbourne. It was last September, and I was on one of the Facebook groups. I think it was Queers in Melbourne or something like that. And I saw somebody advertise that there was a Give It A Go day. We call it a gag day. coming up that weekend for this walk called kickball. And I thought, do you know what? Yes, I'm going to go see what it's all about. So I went along. And to be honest, that feels like a lifetime ago because it's now such a big part of my life and my world. But yeah, that was only back in October.
So how did the sport get its name? Emerald City Kickball, assuming that's Wizard of Oz, Dorothy.
It is indeed. We have Wizard of Oz language pop up all over the place at kickball, to be honest. But
what would be some examples?
So for example, at the end of the season, people can be nominated by their fellow players for different awards or be recognized for something outstanding that they've done. One of them is maybe a person who's brought people together or just gone the extra mile to be super friendly and inclusive. And that award is called the Tin Man Award. And apart from that, we have weekly themes, which are mainly for dressing up or deciding what to wear. And a lot of those have been around the Wizard of Oz as well. I don't think that we have any ties to the studios that make the Wizard of Oz or the production companies there. So I just put in that disclaimer in case we get sued. But yeah, that's it.
Well, the theme rounds are so much fun. So it was, I turned up last week and Coachella was the theme, yes, which was really fun. You had Animal Fantasy, Get Your Claws or Paws Out as the prize for best dressed. There was florals. So will somebody be dressing up as Glinda Goodwitch of the North?
Do you know what? They very well might be. This final week of the season, we've just opened it up and it's about cosplay. So if there's any characters out there that people want to get to live for the day, this is going to be their time. And who knows, maybe there'll be a few Galindas on the field this Sunday.
Well, actually, talking about people who seem to participate in kickball, this is the Silverstone, who I think might very well dress up as Glinda.
Hi, my name's James. I'm also the Silverstone and KDT, depending on where you find me and what I look like. I participated in Emerald City Kickball this season, really because I set out to start something new, try something new, make new friends, start new connections, and really just give it a go. I haven't played sport in, 12 years, so it was a really great opportunity to pick up that storyline and give it another crack and see how it may have improved. And, you know, it depends who you ask on that front. I think I did quite a good job this season anyway. I encourage anybody who wants to come and give this a go, really do so. It's a really great way to open your LGBTQIA+ circle up to new people and new experiences.
Now, I would highly recommend you check out my Instagram, game1_drive149, because the Silverstone is there in all her glory, full makeup and glam. Is that normal at Emerald City Kickball for people to go to that amount of trouble to take part in sport?
Yeah, definitely. More is more, without a doubt. There are no limits to what people get up to with their outfits each week, I would say. And that was such a lovely snippet to hear. I think that they just encapsulated the spirit of kickball so beautifully there. And that story is probably familiar for a lot of players. Like, a lot of people don't have sports backgrounds necessarily, or sports might even be have a space in their brain that's quite traumatic. But now here they are out meeting new people and sports sort of finding its new, like they said, storyline. That's a much happier one.
What would be the profile of an Emerald City kickballer?
Oh, I actually couldn't give you one. It's so varied. And I really mean that. Like, there's all kinds of people there, and that's what makes it so special. So there's some, I guess, more shrinking violets, people that like to keep themselves to themselves, and then some very outspoken people who are quite bold. But everyone, the golden thread that runs between everyone is the spirit of kickball. And that's about community and inclusiveness. And I don't know, trying to build this force for good in the world and keep it going. Because remember, it's still pretty new and everyone's new at it. But yeah, for me, that's what makes it so fabulous.
Well, actually, yeah. So you don't necessarily have to be sporty. Now, Craig from the Open Table was actually keen to come along because a friend of his is actually in one of the teams. I don't know if he's in the Pineapple Hunks, the Scientologist, the Kinky Kinkies, the Gangrene, the Cherry Poppers, or the Peach Please. But Craig was like, oh, maybe can I just go along and watch?
Absolutely, definitely. The more the merrier. Come on down. That was funny listening to you reeling off all of the team names. But
and they've got their own logos as well.
And you missed out my team. I'm in the Scientologist.
Oh yes.
All of the so
which is kind of a smart one because I see what you've done there with the cyan being blue.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. So all of the teams are different colours, and then they go away and decide on a more fun name that they relate to. We were for some reason our jerseys, despite being obviously blue, were called cyan on the pack. So we've then now become the Scientologists. And when we need to do a little pep talk amongst ourselves, we just pick a Scientologist celebrity and say their name over and over again. For example, we'll say Elizabeth Moss or Tom Cruise.
And that motivates you.
It really does. We've had a few wins off the back of that kind of mentality, so it's working. But yeah, definitely, the more the merrier with kickball. This Sunday, we've got a tournament day, so all of the teams are getting to play each other, and it's just for fun. But it's a great opportunity to come on down and see what kickball is all about. It's in Faulkner Park from 1 p.m. In Melbourne, and yeah, please do feel free to come down on your coffee walk or when you're walking your dog or just by yourself and spend a few minutes having a look-see.
And it won't be too hard to find. So Faulkner Park's massive. There will be people playing cricket and then you'll just see this bunch of colourful people because basically it's like kickball's fundamentally a massive ball that's bouncy, like as big,
that's
probably
it.
Yeah, two times the size of your head. And it's almost like baseball, but you run between the bases.
That's it. You've got it bang on there. So kickball is just like baseball, apart from you kick the ball. So we're split into teams and there's two teams playing each other at a time. The goal is to get as many players around the bases as you can. That's a run. Or if you're on the opposite team, you have to try and stop them from getting the run. So that's by catching the ball out when they've kicked it or by getting them with the ball before they've got to the next base. We like to think that it doesn't quite have the same intensity of other sports. So we do the jersey decorating nights. We have themed weeks. We have inclusive social events. Despite having kickball be, I guess, the bones of it all, there's a lot more to it than that. And it's, I just wanted to highlight that as well.
And then you'll head to the Osborne afterwards.
That's right. We are becoming, I think we must be one of their best patrons because there's 89 of us, I think, in the league this season.
That's fantastic. You must be so proud of that number. To have people turn up consistently to a sporting event is really impressive.
It really is. And the fact that people keep coming is, I think, says it all. But you're right. We go to the Osborne afterwards as well, which is a fabulous pub around the corner, and have a little dance, or you can have a little sit and a chat. But that's just what we do after the matches on Sundays. Outside of that, we've had loads of fun social events going on this season. We've had gym classes, hikes, we've had drag bingo, and yeah, there's a lot going on outside of the matches as well.
Wonderful. And if you're in Perth or Sydney, well, lucky you, there's kickball in your city. Well, that's Kia, right. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today, coming all the way into the studio as the new Director of Marketing and Communications or Stakeholder Engagement with a really fun sport, Emerald City Kickball.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. And if you wanted to check out us on Instagram, it's EC Kickball Melb. And yeah, the more the merrier. I'd encourage you to get involved if you're thinking about it.
Wonderful. Thanks for your time. And we'll be right back to wrap up the show.
You're listening to Game on Joy 94.9.
Melbourne's most lovable radio station, Joy 94.9.
And that's a wrap for today's show. Thanks so much for being a part of Game On. And massive thanks to our wonderful guests, Paul Heptonstall, General Manager of the NRL and the Rugby League Players Association, Avery Holderness-Rodham, Participation Manager of the Australian Fencing Federation. And we just heard from the wonderful Keir Ford, Emerald City Kickball 2025 Committee Member, Director of Marketing and Communications. If you missed hearing from our fantastic guest, you listen to the podcast, which will be up on the Joy website later tonight. Search Game On. Give the show a follow on Instagram, GameOn_Joy949. The show's designed for you, so you know where you can get your game on. And next up is the Open Table, where anything and everything is on the table. But before then,
who is getting their game on?
Alok, internationally acclaimed poet, comedian, public speaker and actor, gender non-conforming and trans-feminine, with a statement about the closet, a defining structure of our society. Give Alok a follow on Instagram for more interesting insights. A-L-O-K-V-M-E-N-O-N. We will not be disappointed. Have an awesome sporty week.
I'm about to tell you a secret. The closet is not just for gay people. It's just that gay people were honest that we were closeted. Everybody's closeted. And everybody plays pretend. They all walk around saying, I am, even though they have no idea who they are. What they're often saying is, I want to make you feel comfortable. So I'm going to contort myself into who I think that you want me to be. That is a form of injury that I, as a poet, could spend eons trying to write and never articulate. The pain of feeling like the only way you can belong is by betraying yourself and shape-shifting, knowing that that love is dependent on your self-disappearance. The reason that trans people like me inspire so much envy, which is a synonym for transphobia, is because people look at us and they say, what do you mean you get to be free now? I thought we had to play pretend. I thought we had to play hide and seek our entire lives. And trans people have the moral fortitude and clarity to look at the world and say, no.
Thanks for tuning in to Game On here on Joy 94.9, where we celebrate the rainbow community in sport. Want more of the show? Check out the podcast at joy.org.au/gameon. And if you want to get in touch, email gameon@joy.org.au.